as we prepare our hearts for the word. Lord, I enjoyed watching the birds in the backyard of the church this morning, and Greg and I were remarking how you take care of the birds, Lord, and you've been doing that for thousands of years. And you feed them, you clothe them, you take care of them, you keep them warm in the winter, and life goes on, Lord. It's amazing how you've designed everything that's so beautiful around us that just works, and that's your mark. And as you feed the birds, Lord, we look forward to how you feed us from your word. And we know you do that every day. And this morning, Lord, we particularly look for what you have for us from your word through Jack today. We ask that you would fill him and guide him by your spirit, and that you would prepare our hearts to receive the seed, Lord. May it fall on fertile soil in our hearts, Lord. May it not be choked out by the cares of this world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, the feeding on God's word continues, because we have been doing that already, haven't we? As we've been singing truth to one another and to our own hearts and minds, as we've heard Greg bring the food of God's word to our souls, and I appreciate that so much. And I was reminded, Greg, what you just made a passing comment about the microphone problem. And as I was putting together my PowerPoint, I just was reminded, as I was honestly struggling a bit. I'm 68. I'm not the swiftest guy when it comes to technology. I do okay, but I just was reminded that the goal is not for me to put together the perfect PowerPoint so that you can be, you know, entertained, or, oh, that wasn't that nice. Go home. Same old, same old. No, the goal is for me to faithfully speak the word of God in a way that your soul is nourished and the Holy Spirit has maximum freedom to bring about life change in you and me. Because when I'm speaking, folks, I'm not just talking at you. I'm hopefully talking with you, and I'm talking to myself as well. Because I've got long ways to go, as we all do. So hopefully my PowerPoint will make sense, but if it doesn't, I apologize for that. And hopefully you'll be able to look past that and hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to you today. Unlike most Sundays, I'm not going to beat around the bush about what my title is. Right out of the chute, I'm going to tell you what it is. 2 weeks ago, I gave the introductory message to our In Christ series, and it was really a pre-introductory message, because we didn't even get into talking about what it means to be in Christ, because I thought it was important to just focus on Christ himself, to understand how it's priority for us to, as Paul used the phrase, to learn Christ. To learn Christ. I don't mind saying, and I know I'm a word guy, as you can probably figure out, so don't get uptight if you say this, but when people say, oh, I'm so glad we can come and learn about God, as if it's just about the information, you know, and we're like the white-coated scientists, and here's God on the table, and we're just kind of taking notes and kind of analyzing him, and we're learning about him. No, we are learning Christ. Not just who and what he is, but in practical terms, what he means to our lives, how our lives are changed as we embrace him, as we fulfill the reason for which God made us. We're going to get into that here in a little while. So this really is my first message in the series. And the title of today's talk is Blessed with Every Spiritual Blessing. We're not actually going to even get into any of the blessings. We're just going to talk about the fact that we've been blessed with a lot. If you could just come away today with this simple truth, I have been blessed. This is you talking now. This is That's just me. I have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. And the subtitle is Growing Your Love for God. This is my heart today. I want an environment to exist at New Song where your love for God flourishes and grows and expands. Do you love God? I'm just about put money on that everybody in here, I would answer for you and say, yes, you love God. I don't think you'd be here if in some measure you didn't love God, but you probably want to love him more. I know I want to love him more. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Are you there? No, I aspire to love him with my all, but I got a ways to go in that. You do too. So I want to do all I can to throw gas on your fire to grow your love for God. And I believe that the message that I have that I think is from God will do just that. It will help grow your love for God and avoid what I call the danger of older son syndrome. We're going to get into that. We're going to take a look in Luke 15 and talk about the older son in one of the parables. So today's title, Blessed with Every Spiritual Blessing, subtitle, Growing Your Love for God and the Danger of Older Son Syndrome. Again, this is essentially the kickoff message of our In Christ series for 2023 and our theme verse for the year. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. New things have come. So we're going to spend the year talking about what are those old things that have passed away? What are the new things that have come? And like I said, we're not even going to really get into the things so much today other than just appreciate the fact that there are a lot of them. And God has not withheld them from us. And he's made them all available to all of us. As I mentioned earlier, my kickoff message for this had to do with focusing on Christ himself. And I hope you have taken some time to chew on Christ. That's an odd way to put it, isn't it? To chew on Christ. He said, my flesh is true food. My blood is true drink. He said, I'm the bread that has come down out of heaven to give life to the world. Jesus wants to nourish your soul on himself. And so Phil had some fun last week, and I laughed right along with him mentioning the fact that I had a 118-point sermon. And in a way, I did, as I read through the list, and you read through the first time around, and then I just read it by myself the second time around. 118 names, titles, and descriptors of Christ. By the way, since then, I've added two. Right after the message, Tony mentioned in the back, he said, I thought of another one that wasn't on there. He mentioned something. He said, I said, good point. I added that since then, another one. So I'm up to 120. But with that, let's go ahead and move into today's message, which is based on Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Please read together with me these two verses, which effectively is one sentence. Let's read together. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. Now, as you know, the word of God is so amazingly rich that it can't be explored in a short amount of time. It just takes time. It's just so rich. And it's not just to be information to be taken in, but it is to be distilled in our thinking. It is to be enjoyed. It is to be analyzed from the standpoint of, wow, how is this to affect my life and change my life? And we're not going to have time to even go through this entire single sentence. Today's focus is only on the first half of the sentence, but I will mention a few things because I just can't completely leave it alone. From the second half of the sentence, which is verse 4, that says that these spiritual blessings that he has given to us, he gave them to us, verse 4 says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Now, this is not, it's not absolutely clear at what point in chronology, in time, this all happened, but sometime before the foundation of the world, God chose you. It's a mind-bending, mind-blowing thing. But it's true nonetheless. It's in God's word, and I believe it. You may be a little skeptical. I feel a little skepticism sometimes, but I look and go, no, this is what it says, that even before the world was founded, somehow simultaneous to God deciding to kind of move the big stack of chips on the table over to you with all these blessings, he chose you. I, as you know, I'm a bit of a history geek, and especially related to family history. I hope you are learning and growing in your appreciation for your family, your ancestry, because God in his sovereignty allowed you to be the son or daughter of your parents and granddaughter of their parents and so on. And I know those people had lots of hang-ups and problems, and like you and I don't. But nonetheless, God in his sovereignty brought you into the world when he brought you in. And I just was thinking a bit about my own dad in relation to this whole thing of time and before I was born. And it's been, I don't know the exact date this happened, but it's been almost exactly 80 years ago, which of course before I was born. My dad was in a coastal artillery unit training to go overseas. He was stationed at Fort Morgan, Alabama. And they set up their big guns on the shore and had target practice and they were aiming and trying to sink these dummy ships out in Mobile Bay. And after a day's worth of training, he and his buddies and his crew finished their training and were walking back up the hill toward their barracks. And a huge explosion took place where they had just been. I don't know if one of the guns blew up or some ammunition or something. Well, why didn't it blow up 5 minutes earlier? Because God had a plan. Before the foundation of the world, he chose me. Many years before that, my great-grandfather, I could tell you stories, Civil War story, about how his unit, 1864, his unit suffered very, very heavy casualties. His second cousin was killed. He wasn't there because he happened to have gotten sick. He was suffering from diarrhea, which killed many, many men in the Civil War. He was in Bridgeport, Alabama in a hospital, and he wasn't at this particular battle where so many of his buddies were killed because God had a plan. Wow, you mean back in the 1860s, God looked ahead and saw me? Yeah, not only in the 1860s, but go way, way back. Go even before the world was founded. God saw you. He knew that you would be, and he chose you. And at that time, he somehow decided to, what's the word, bequeath or pass along or transfer to you what the Bible said, what the Bible calls every spiritual blessing. So this was before the foundation of the world. And he, by the way, he chose you. I know this is a controversial topic about God choosing people. Does God choose or do we decide? And I'm not going to get into that right now. But he chose you before the foundation of the world. And he chose you not just for you to be on his team, for you to be in heaven with him, yes, but also specifically, he chose you that you would be holy and blameless before him. What does holy mean? It just means you are special. You are his set aside special person. I don't know how things are at your house, but at my house, there are, if I'm going to change the oil, there are certain plates and pans I had better not use in the oil change. Some of our pottery that we brought from Europe, you know, some pieces that have been in Joan's family. What if I took one of those expensive pieces that she values so much and went, it's no big deal. I need an oil pan to catch the oil for the old dirty oil crawl into the car, you know. She walks up, what are you doing? No, she would not do that, would you? Yeah, she might. Yeah. She'd be tested, that's for sure. I wouldn't do that. Why? Because the fact that you're holy, it means something concerning how you live your life. If you understand you are set apart by, you are his special child. All right, I don't have time to go there. Anyway, back to the main event, which is the first part of the verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Let's take some time to dissect this. Paul begins with this phrase, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God. Blessed. God, I bless you. I bless you. Is this just so much Bible-ese? This is just Bible talk, isn't it? It doesn't really have any substance. It really doesn't mean anything, does it? Yes, it does. Paul says, bless God. Bless God. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us these blessings. And I couldn't help but think of Psalm 103, where David says, bless the Lord, O my soul. What does it mean to bless the Lord? It means to lift him up, exalt him, worship him, extol him, make much of him. Not as a matter of, well, because I have to. No, because it genuinely is something emanating from my heart, because I'm in relationship with God and I see who he is and what he's done for me. And I just want to praise him and worship him. And so I bless, that's what it means to bless the Lord. He blessing me means he sends certain things my way, or he creates certain circumstances, or ensures that something is true about me or for me. But I want you to see the connection between the psalmist saying, bless the Lord, and that same psalm writer appreciating the many benefits and blessings that have come from God. Because the degree, if we really grasp and appreciate all the many blessings that come from God, don't you think it'll help us to bless him better? Don't you think it'll make us better worshipers? Don't you think it'll make us fall in love with him more? Isn't that what you want? It's what I want. I don't always love God the way I should. I want to love him more. A very practical way to do that is to understand and embrace and own and believe the things that the Bible says are true about you because you're in Christ. Bless the Lord, O my soul, the psalmist said, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. The psalmist speaks to his soul. He tells himself what to do. We need to do that more. We need to kind of boss ourselves around. Well, I don't really feel like worshiping God. Bless the Lord, soul. I'm can control you. You're not going to control me. I'm the boss of you, and I'm telling you, mind, I'm telling you, will, I'm telling you, emotions, get in line and start exalting God, because he made you for that. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget none of his benefits. And he starts to list them out. Who pardons all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit? Who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion? Who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle? Oh, the blessings of God. As we meditate on them and appreciate them, that will help us be better worshipers. It'll help us to fall more in love with him. I finished a book up as I traveled this week. I was in Miami. Tough job. Somebody had to do it. So I went to Miami to a church leaders conference. Phil and Debbie were there as well. They decided to hang around for another day. Good for them. That's why they're not here, but I'm glad they had the chance to do that. And I had an opportunity to finish, while I was on the several planes, to finish a book that I had been reading that I highly recommend to you, especially to parents of children, whether they're adolescents and teens or not quite there yet. It's called Treading Boldly Through a Pornographic World, a Field Guide for Parents. And we're all well aware at the great availability of pornography, and I think we have a pretty good idea of the horrific damage that it does to the soul of a human being. And it's so, this book is about so much more than, well, if you really want your kids to not get involved with pornography, then put blockers on their devices and, you know, watch what they're doing so you can, you know, get on their case if they cross the line. Well, there's an element of that there, but the book is so much more. Get ready if you're going to read this book. It's so much more about helping you as a parent understand, get a grip on issues that you have, perhaps, I would say probably, I don't know if I know anyone who doesn't, hasn't had issues with their own broken sexuality. It's a wonderful, wonderful book, so I highly recommend it. But as I was finishing the book, as the plane was getting ready to land in Columbus, and I was on the last few pages, and I don't know if it was Weiss or Glaser that wrote these words, he said, at the end of the day, we are lovers more than logicians. We as human beings are lovers more than logicians. What he was saying is, God designed you and me. You might go, oh, I'm the logical type. I'm the cerebral person. I'm not too emotional. Look, I don't care who you are. God made you primarily to be in a love relationship with him. He made you to give him love and to receive love from him, and then to love other people with that love. So doing right is not just a matter of the logic. Well, this is what the Bible says, and I know pornography is not good for me, so if you just convince your kids about what's right, then they'll do what's right. No, you got to do more than that. You got to give them a bigger vision of God's will for their life, how his will is for them to understand his love and what it means to love a person, and what it means to receive love from him. You got to give them a big vision. So anyway, I don't know if you agree with that or not. We're lovers more than logicians. I think it's true. And they didn't point this out, but what came to my mind was, well, is that true? Yeah, I think it is true. Why? Because what's the greatest commandment? A guy came up to Jesus one time and said, what's the greatest commandment in the law? His answer, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. Second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these commandments, get a load of this, on these commandments depend the whole law and prophets. This book hangs on two ideas, love God and love other people. You think you weren't primarily designed as a lover? You were. You might feel like, well, I'm not sure I really know what that means or what that looks like or how to do that. I've tried and I kind of stumbled. I messed up. Hey, we've all messed up. But the point is, God made you for love. He made you to love him. So bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The next thing I want us to notice is that these blessings are spiritual blessings. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Well, you probably noticed, but we aren't in heaven right now, are we? We're walking around planet Earth, aren't we? So how does that work? If the blessings have to do with heaven, how are we to realize them? How are they to have real meaning in our lives? Well, we need to learn to orient ourselves to things heavenly. You know, Jesus is in heaven. Where is Jesus? He's in my heart. Actually, no, he's not in your heart. He's in, well, he is by virtue of the Holy Spirit, whom he sent when he went into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. He sent the Holy Spirit. And if you're saved today, that Holy Spirit lives in you. So in as much as the Spirit is in you, and the Spirit is not Christ, but there are three persons and one God, in a sense, Christ is in you. But Jesus Christ in his body is at the right hand of the Father. He's in heaven. So we need to learn to orient ourselves to things heavenly. Again, these are spiritual blessings. And they are in the heavenly places. That doesn't mean that they don't have impact or they don't have effect in our lives here on earth, but they are heavenly in nature. And in order to understand them, our brains need to kind of shift gears and just get out of the realm where we're limited by what we can see with our eyes. And we need to learn how to read the Bible and believe what the Bible says, even though we can't see it. Can you see the fact that you have every spiritual blessing in Christ? I would say, no, you can't see that. But that's what Scripture says. And you're either going to believe it or you're not going to believe it, or maybe you'll kind of partly believe it. I don't know. But that is in a sense, that's a heavenly truth. Now, this is one of my favorite quotes, C.S. Lewis quote. I'm thinking that some of you are feeling like, you know, I just don't want to be a weird person. I don't want to go around and just be like this crazy, you know, quoting the Bible all the time and people look at me like I'm from outer space, and I just don't want to be this person that people have a difficult time relating to. And so I'm worried about that. If I'm too heavenly minded, I won't be any earthly good. I've heard people say that. And C.S. Lewis said, if you read history, you'll find that the Christians who did the most for the present world were precisely those who thought most of the next. You see, the people who don't think of the next world, they're bound up in this idea, I've got to get everything I can out of this world. If it means taking advantage of another person, well, then I'll do that, because I got to get mine all I can while I'm here. But we God lovers, we Christians, we know, wait, we are looking forward to glory. That's in the bag. Woohoo! That frees me. And now I can really love other people with abandon. I don't have to be self-centered and, well, what about me? No, I can love other people and just be freed. 1 Peter 1:13, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Our minds aren't to just be floating around in outer space somewhere so that we're not practically any good to anybody. No, our minds, we need to be ready for action, keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Is that contradictory, that our minds can be ready for action, ready to do what needs to be done, but also to have our hope fixed completely on something that's future? No, those two things can happen simultaneously. One informs the other. If my hope is fixed on, wow, the day's coming when Jesus reveals himself in glory, I'll be revealed with him. Won't that be an awesome day? I want to live my life with that in view. Then I'll be ready for anything. Colossians 3, therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. He is not saying, don't think about things on earth. If that's what the Bible said, we couldn't function. You wouldn't go to the grocery store. You wouldn't stop at the gas station and put gas in. I'm just only thinking about God and heaven. He's not saying that. He's saying, make heaven and heavenly things your frame of reference. Orient your life, orient your thinking to that. And I just want to encourage us, I want to take a brief look at some verses from Luke 15. We don't have time to read the entire parable, but I want you to learn to avoid what I'm calling older son syndrome. And I really don't like it when speakers just assume that everybody in the group knows certain things from the Bible, because at any given time, you're going to have people that are unfamiliar. I remember when I was that person, and speakers would say, "Well, you all well know what happened in 2 Chronicles 34. And I'm going, "What? No, I don't." So I don't, I shouldn't assume, but even in modern culture, there are a lot of Christians, a lot of non-Christians who understand the concept of prodigal. A prodigal son. There's a story in the Bible about this son, the younger son, who took the inheritance or asked his father, "Hey, can I have my inheritance early? I've got plans." And he went off and he burned through this money with wine, women, and song. Just to paraphrase, we don't have time to read it. Because I want to get to the older son. You know, I believe that this Bible has a mistake in it. Now, I'm not saying I believe that the Word of God has a mistake in it, but I believe the people, I appreciate the people who put this book together. But did you know that the subtitles and the chapter headings and the notes, those are things that are from human beings? And so don't assume. So when it says, this is the parable of the prodigal son, I think it's more the parable of the older son, not the prodigal, not the younger son. Because the context, think about it, the context is Jesus is relating to the Jews who refuse to accept the fact, you know what, God loves the Gentiles too. And he wants to welcome them into his family. And you nose in the air Jews walk around thinking, I know the law and I'm God's special person and that dirty Gentile, blah, blah. And Jesus is trying to help them understand, look, you need to anticipate that dirty people are going to get welcomed into the kingdom because I'm going to forgive them. And so he tells a story. Here's this smug older brother. I'm just going to fast forward. So the son comes back and the father has the fatted calf killed and they have this big celebration. And then we hear about the indignant older brother. Now his older son was in the field, this is verse 25, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him back safe and sound." But he became angry and was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began pleading with him. I love that. You know, the father was looking for the prodigal son to return. He would go to the window and anticipate the son coming up the long drive. He went out. When the son appeared, he went out and hugged him. And he goes out to the older brother too. But he answered and said to his father, "Look." He's steamed, isn't he? He's pretty hacked. "Look. For so many years I've been serving you and I've never neglected a command of yours. And yet you've never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." Notice the father's response. He said to him, "Son, you've always been with me." For some reason, the son's idea of a real good time was to hang out with his friends. "You didn't give me a goat so I could go hang with my friends." Look, I'm not against having friends. But do you think there was something lacking in his relationship with his dad? If his idea of a good time, I just want to go hang with my friends. He says, "Son, you've always been with me." And then he says, "And all that is mine is yours." Why the son thought that I can't even have a goat to go sell? Well, son, why didn't you go just get one? If it was true, and I choose to believe what the dad says, "Hey, everything I have is yours." Here's God saying to you this morning, "Everything I have Every spiritual blessing is yours. Really? Every? Yeah, that's what the verse says. That he's blessed us with every... Well, I don't have every... Wait a minute. The word says that you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. See, the devil wants to mischaracterize God. The devil wants to accuse God. The devil wants you to think, just like he wanted Eve to think, you know, God's holding out on you. He knows that in the day you eat this fruit, you'll become like him, and he doesn't want that. He's trying to keep you down. He's holding out on you. And here's God saying, I have all this for you, if you will recognize it and take it. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. But we tend to think God is somehow, he's stingy, kind of. He's miserly. He's sparing, kind of penny-pinching, grudging, tight-fisted God who sometimes withholds stuff from us. Stop it. That is the devil's idea. Now, yes, God does withhold things from you, but only he'd only withhold it because he knows it would hurt you. I recall a situation I was explaining to Joan on the drive here that I was going to share this brief story. When we were serving in Poland, the Polish pastor who facilitated our ministry and first invited us to move to Poland, he knew a number of Americans, and he was willing to facilitate Americans coming to Poland to plant churches. And he, from time to time, would come to the U.S. And meet with different people. And he worked with a guy from Arizona, I think. I won't say his name. But this guy was pretty well connected with Christian ball players who had a lot of money. And my friend Peter Zaremba came back. He said, yes, I was in Florida at this American game baseball. You know this player, Andy Pettit? Yeah, I know who Andy Pettit is. If you don't know who Andy Pettit is, by the way, the Yankees retired his number. Okay, just saying. So Andy Pettit had just signed a 3-year, $31 million contract to play with the Houston Astros in 2003. The next year, 2004, a guy by the name of Lance Berkman signed a 6-year, $85 million contract. And so Peter Zaremba had been meeting with Lance Berkman and Andy Pettit, and I saw dollar signs. And I went, ooh, there's a ministry house on a certain street in Poznan where we live. It's only $275,000 American dollars. So what is that, Lance Berkman, $83 million? That's a drop in the bucket. God, surely you would move on Lance Berkman's heart to give Jack Stockdale $275,000. Didn't happen. It didn't happen. And I don't mind telling you, I start feeling like, well, God, why not? Why are you withholding from me? Well, that's a twisted way to think. I was buying into the devil's, what the devil wanted me to think. Oh, God's just, you know, he's not interested in your best. And I just want to urge you to recognize the devil's mischaracterization of God. Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way's hidden from the Lord, the justice due me escapes the notice of my God. The Israelites fell into that trap. God doesn't see, he doesn't notice. He's not paying attention to me. He's holding out on me for some reason. So Genesis 3, Matthew 4, here's the devil to Jesus saying, look, I've got all the kingdoms in the world that are under me, and I will give them to you if you would just bow to me. Suggesting that, you know, God, your father is, he's not giving you that. I have that, and I'll give it to you if you'll just bow to me in worship, because your father's holding out on you. Same thing. So, third point, I want you to learn to revel in and live in light of all that you have in Christ. I realize I haven't begun to detail any of the blessings that you and I have because we're in Christ. I just want you to appreciate the fact that you have all of them. All that God has to give you, he's already given it to you. You might feel like, well, I'm not sure I've really experienced them or even know what they are. Okay, I want to help you know what they are. They're already yours. And he's given them to you so that, among other things, you would have a vision of him that would help you to worship him. So I just want to end with this. And this is from later on in the book of Ephesians. If you think of the book of Ephesians as a big door that swings on a hinge, and the first three chapters are just chock full of just mind-blowing truths about what it means to be in Christ. And then chapter 4, verse 1 swings on that hinge and says, therefore, Paul says, I, the prisoner of the Lord, I implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called. And again, you might sit there and say, well, okay, Jack, but I don't even really understand the calling with which I've been called. All these benefits, you haven't even gotten into what they are. Okay, but at least for today, suffice to just know that whatever you've been given, it's a lot. It's a lot. God has not held back anything from you. Now, true, there are some people that have gifts that you don't have. You have gifts that other people don't have. Again, that's God loves you, and he's given you everything that he deems best for you. But I just want to implore you. Looked up the word implore. Merriam-Webster says implore is to make an earnest request of someone, to say or request something in a sincere or urgent manner, to ask, to beg earnestly. I implore you. I implore you to embrace, to purpose to embrace the blessings God has already given you. And then to purpose to say, God, I want to live commensurate with that calling. I want to understand my calling, understand everything I have. And then I want my life to be a statement that I understand it, okay? That there's no disconnect. So today's message, blessed with every spiritual blessing, growing your love for God and others, and growing your love for God, and the danger of older son syndrome, the danger of falling into, well, I think God's holding out on me. He's forgotten about me. He's kind of holding back. He didn't give me that much. No, you have every spiritual blessing. And I implore you to purpose to walk worthy of the calling. Orient your life to things that are heavenly. Again, I'm not saying don't think about earthly things. That's not what he's saying. Make that your frame of reference. Cultivate your love relationship with God. You were made for that. You were made for it. Cultivate your love relationship with God. Avoid older son syndrome. Don't buy what the devil's selling. And revel in and purpose to live in light of all that you have in Christ. The time has just flown by. I don't know how you feel about it, but it just seems like I sat down here 30 seconds ago. I trust the Holy Spirit. That's all I can say. I trust the Holy Spirit to take his word and to bring it home to your heart and mind in a way that will bring about life change for you somehow. It's not the greatest PowerPoint presentation that was ever put together, but I trust that you grasp the spirit of what I'm saying, and I hope you can sense my heart, that I love each one of you all. I love each one of you, and I want God's best for you. I want you to experience all that he made you for. So let's enjoy this journey together throughout 2023 as we explore all that we are and all that we have in Christ, shall we? Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for how awesome you are and how awesome your word is. It just blows my mind that people who don't know you, they blow off the Bible like it's foolish or fairy tales or not that big a deal. And we who have your spirit look at it and go, just wow, Lord, your word is just so powerful. May it be unleashed in each of our lives in the coming week as we dwell on these things, I pray in Christ's name. Amen.
began this time asking God to feed us as he feeds the birds in the backyard. And wow, from Greg's communion time, Jack's message, I'm stuffed. It's going to take some time to process and savor all this. I've taken notes on both. I'm looking forward to spending some quiet time this week going over that, even later today. So a few announcements. We have a need for more volunteers to help on Sunday morning, and that's everything. Everything from fixing coffee to shaking hands and smiling at folks, setting up the communion elements, to even playing music or singing up here on Sunday morning. We need help in all those areas. We have some circumstances coming up in the next few months in our schedule where there are multiple regular servers who are not going to be able to do what they normally do on Sunday morning and in manner of serving. So number one, please pray for us in that regard. But also, if there's any role on Sunday morning that you would be interested in doing, please talk to Lael or one of the elders and let us know that you're interested in helping. Also, prayer requests. Once again, you can now send your prayer request to prayer@newsong.family. And speaking of prayer requests, we want to pray for Debbie this morning. Phil and Debbie are still ready to leave later today on their flight back, and Debbie's not feeling well at all this morning. So pray for Debbie that that she'll get better and that won't impact their travel plans so they can return home today. So please pray for her. Also, this next weekend, this Friday and Saturday, is the prison outreach. So if you're signed up for that, thank you. And for those who are staying behind with the luggage, as we like to say, please pray for us this weekend as we go Saturday to the prison in Dayton this time. Please pray that that really is an effective outreach. And then the following day, this next Sunday, will be Prayer for the Nations again here at 7. And then coming up on Saturday the 18th of March, we have two opportunities. There's another church in town is hosting a time to learn more about how to share your faith and have gospel conversations. I'm really thinking about going to that. It's God has given me opportunities to share with coworkers over the years, and I'm always looking for new things that I can use, that he can equip me with. So I hope that you can join us for that on the 18th as well. That night then is a game night here. So lots of things happening here coming up very soon in the month of March. And I don't think it's out on our announcements yet. I know it's on the calendar. I think March 25th, the following weekend after that, is a CPR training here. If you'd like to learn CPR, that'll be coming up soon as well. So lots going on, but let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have fed us from your word today. Indeed, you have fed us so well. Lord, sometimes I just sit here and I see things in your word and I just say, wow. And I know you've convicted me this morning of some things that I need to work on in my life. And I pray that we would not, especially for believers who have been on the way for a while, Lord, it's easiest for us to get comfortable and to become that older brother. Lord, I pray that you'd soften our hearts. Lord, that you would work deeply in us to really to see you with fresh eyes, to see those around us with fresh eyes, Lord, and to receive every blessing and then be able to give those blessings to others, Lord, and invite them to the dinner, Lord. So we thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and lives. And we pray for Debbie this morning that you would help her as they're preparing to travel today, Lord, that you would help her with this dizziness, Lord, that you would settle her stomach, that they would be able to come home and as they travel back as well, to be able to savor the teaching that they've been able to receive this weekend and that we would be able to, that you would bless them as they've received spiritual blessings and Jack this weekend and that training, that we would also be recipients of that as they begin to share what they've learned. And so we pray for Debbie's health this morning and for each of us as we go out today, Lord, to work and home. We ask that you would give us opportunities to share what we heard this morning with others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand for our benediction.
Thank you.
Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.